You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The more we talk about Justin Fields, the more we get excited about Justin Fields, the more that hype builds, the more I start to sense maybe it wearing on Andy Dalton just a little bit. As he looks around and says, wait a minute, aren't I QB1? Aren't I the week one starter? This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook, join the Locked On Bears Facebook group, and make sure that you subscribe to the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. On the show today, we will hear from the Red Rifle himself on his relationship with Justin Fields, how he's handling that pressure and back and forth. And for me, it seems like we're sensing a little bit of something extra behind his words that maybe weren't quite there earlier this offseason. And that's in no way a criticism of Andy Dalton, but certainly a natural human reaction to a difficult situation he's into. We'll try and break that down a little bit further. Then we'll hear from Pro Bowl wide receiver Allen Robinson on how he's approaching this season, what he's added this offseason to not doing things differently, but trying to just put on even something to that next level and what his expectations are for this Bears offense this season. Then we'll catch up on injury updates to start training camp. Players on the physically unable to perform list, the non-football injury list, even a surprise retirement thrown in there as well. Make sure we're up to date on everything out of Hallis Hall. But we start with Andy Dalton in particular, because we heard on yesterday's podcast Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace talk a lot about Justin Fields and the excitement there. Of course, that's what all the questions are about. But over time, I can sense that building up a little bit, and it becomes a lot of Justin Fields all the time and not a lot of Andy Dalton much of the time. And, you know, you feel for Dalton a little bit here in the situation he's put in. And I sense just a little bit of, like, defensiveness coming through in some of his comments. And this is in no way a criticism. I'm not trying to create a controversy here. I just want to point out a very sort of natural human response to the type of situation Dalton is in. And some of this, I think, maybe he could have expected, maybe not fully to the extent that it happened. I mean, he's being realistic about it. He's not letting it become a big problem. But I just hear a little bit of something extra in his voice. And I want to play it for you and let me know if you hear something similar.
Andy, where are you, like, personally in processing that you're the starting quarterback for the Bears, but there is this first-round pick in Justin Fields? I know, you know, during OTAs you should have a great relationship with him, but how do you process all of that and all the attention that he is getting and is going to get?
Yeah, I mean, it comes with that position. He's a first-round pick. I understand that. But I also understand that I'm the starter, and I understand that I knew I signed a one-year deal. I knew that I was going to come in. I was going to be the starter, regardless of the situation coming in. And so that's my focus. I'm not worried about all the stuff that's going to be going on with Justin, because that doesn't affect me. At the end of the day, it's what I'm going to be doing and everything. And Justin and I have a really good relationship, and I'm trying to help him out as much as I can.
Andy, how could it, you know, when the fans come out here for the first time and, you know, if Justin makes a big play, there's obviously going to be a reaction from the fans. Does that do anything to you just as a competitor? Can there be a little bit of back and forth? Obviously, you've got to be working with different teams, but how do you see the dynamic playing out?
I'm sure I'll be making big plays too, and hopefully they'll be cheering at the same time, you know? So, for me being the starter, hopefully they would see that if I'm making big plays, that's good for everybody.
First of all, Andy Dalton sporting the beard in the press conference now is a nice look. He definitely seems more like the seasoned veteran at this stage, full-on Red Rifle status. But I just feel a little bit of this, like, remember, I'm the starter, guys. The starting job, that's mine. Like, I'm the starter. I'm starting week one. That's what they've assured me. Like, that's Dalton's leverage, right? I mean, that is what he can hold on to say, they told me they promised me, they assured me, they tweeted the picture of me as QB1, that I am the Bears' starting quarterback. He's not unrealistic about it. He realizes that, yes, this is a one-year deal. They brought in Justin Fields to be the future. But I can't imagine when he signed with this team, you know, he maybe thought they would draft the quarterback at some point, right? I mean, they were picking 20, and so maybe at the end of the first round or in the second or third round, they might draft a quarterback. And when you draft a quarterback there, maybe there's more of a run-up and a build-up there where Dalton can really feel like, okay, I'm the guy. But when they trade up and grab a quarterback like Justin Fields in particular, that can be a little bit of a sweeping of the rug underneath him. So, of course, he should be defensive. I mean, I think that's totally natural. I think that's a human reaction. I think he's been handling it really well. I just think I've put myself in his shoes. He's been a starting quarterback in the NFL for a long time. I think it was like 8 years in Cincinnati. Had small amounts of success. He knows he's not a Hall of Fame top five quarterback, right? He's realistic about that, but he's been to the Pro Bowl. He's been to the playoffs, and he really had to swallow that pride last year to take the backup role in Dallas. Didn't really expect to even play there, but, you know, gets another shot this year in Chicago to say, all right, they're making me their guy for this year, and I can reprove myself on this 1 year with a decent supporting cast and try and parlay this into whatever my next opportunity might be as a veteran quarterback somewhere else. And then kind of a stark reminder of your age and your status in the NFL, again, a little bit swept out from under him. And I feel for him. I mean, he's certainly not backing down from the challenge, and he's not woe is me, I better give up and quit or anything like that. But it's a tough spot. And I imagine if I was in that spot, or if it was in my job and they hired me for some position and then they brought in some younger kid that was going to clearly there to take my job eventually and say, hey, well, you just hired me. Like, why, you know, you assured me that I would have this spot, and you do have this spot, but all of a sudden it's tough to have that brought up right in your face every single day. All the questions, I mean, he's like at press conferences every day, but it's in all the talk, all the articles, all the sports media, the podcasts like this one. And you can only block out so much of that when maybe your friends are hearing it and asking you about stuff, your family members. I mean, it's social media is, you know, TV's around at the bar and it's ESPN and they're talking about this or talking about that. We all remember Mitch Trubisky asking to have the TVs turned off at Halas Hall. Hasn't reached that stage for Andy Dalton just yet, but I do wish him the best, and I hope he can kind of stay strong through this and truly gets a fair shot to show what he can do, because clearly we all know it's a matter of when, not if, Justin Fields takes over this season. His teammates can see it, his coaches can see it, and we can all see it on the outside, and it's just a tough spot for him to be in. But we know there's a lot of excitement about what's going to come here. Allen Robinson in particular, happy to have a quarterback change, some new pieces in there, just a kind of a new approach for him this season now with the franchise tag. Maybe he's not super happy about it, but he is doing everything he can to be the best receiver he can be. We'll hear a little bit more about what he's added to his process and what he's expecting this season next on Locked On Bears. It's been a lot of moving parts around Allen Robinson at receiver and quarterback in this offense, but nobody knows more about moving parts than our friends at rockauto.com. They're a family business that have been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. So no need to go into the chain store and talk to the person behind the counter. They're going to ask you 1,000 questions, trying to figure out if you know what you're talking about and what part you need. They punch it in their computer and go look in the back. They usually don't even have it in stock, and they have to order it. No, why go through all that? Cut out the middleman, and you can order it yourself and have it delivered right to your door with our friends at rockauto.com. Their catalog is super deep, and it's really easy to navigate. You just enter in your car's make and model, and boom, pulls up a full list of all the parts available for your vehicle, and then you just sort between the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. So check out rockauto.com today. And when you check out, fill in the How Did You Hear About Us box with the words Locked On so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Of course, one of the most reliable parts of this Bears offense for the last few years, Allen Robinson, putting the contract stuff behind him at this stage. He knows he's on the franchise tag. He's not thrilled about it. Wasn't his first choice. Wasn't what he wanted to do, but he's still getting a decent paycheck this year, $18 million. I mean, It's reportedly closer to the range he was looking for compared to what the Bears had been offering right up to that July 15th deadline. But now that July 15th has passed, there's not really any more negotiating. And so you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it. He can just say, you know what? He can truly mean it when he says, I'm just focused on this season. The rest of that is out of his hands, because it is. So all he needs to do is play the absolute best he can play this season and then try and cash in next offseason and try and get as big of a contract as possible. So from that regard, he's not necessarily approaching this season any differently. I mean, he was a contract year player last year trying to get a payday in the offseason. So, of course, like, he would give everything he can in every season to play as best as he could, but it's not like he's trying to do more this year than he did last year, because he was trying to do as much as he could last year. I think for him, it's about, you know, adding 1% to the 110% he's already pushing for, and he's a football machine at this point, and any little opportunity he can to try and find an advantage is definitely something he's looking for. And he detailed a little bit of his process this offseason and, you know, where specifically he's seeing growth and what he's anticipating this offense might do at his training camp opening press conference.
Your 8th training camp, what feels different for you? I know you like to do things the same way, but what feels different?
I think I had a very, very productive offseason. You know, I think this is one of the most productive offseasons I've had. You know, again, I mean, even with it being year 8, you know, it all seems to kind of be the same year to year. You know, it goes pretty fast. You know, so, again, I'm excited, man, being able to get a lot of training and stuff in that I want to get in. You know, being able to improve certain things on my game, you know, from certain route running aspects, you know, being able to add certain things to my game and watch a lot of film and also focus on the top end speed and stuff like that. You know, being able to just all around try to help my game get better. You know, that's what I want to come into this offseason was, you know, being the best player that I could be, you know, having my best year to date, you know, from whatever that may be or whatever that may look like, you know, from a efficiency standpoint, from a yards after catch standpoint, you know, just all of those things, being able to improve on all of that, you know, because I honestly, the better that, you know, I do and the better that I prepare and the better that I play, you know, it's better for everybody.
What are the specific things you've done to address top end speed? I know you've mentioned that a few times.
Yeah, so, you know, down in Miami, with one of the great trainers, Pete Bomarito, you know, we focus on a lot of, you know, speed endurance, you know, and muscle endurance, being able to not only, you know, get faster from a standpoint where you're just running faster, but, you know, being able to hold that top speed for longer, you know, being able to run at the highest speed, you know, for longer distances, being able to get to that top speed quicker, you know, being able to get, you know, to the top speed, you know, stop, change direction, then get back to it, you know, as fast as possible. So being able to do all those little things and focus on all those little nuances in my game, you know, along with adding some of the, you know, technicalities and technical things when it comes to route running.
One of the things Coach Nagy talks about with Andy is anticipatory throws. As a receiver, really one of the most elite receivers in this game, how do you react to that and his anticipatory throws?
That's a great benefit for any receiver. You know, as whenever you get out of your break, you always want the ball to be in the air or, you know, be on its way to you. You know, so as you kind of create that separation, you can kind of keep the separation once you create it. You know, especially when you're playing against man to man or even some zones. You know, once you get the ball in your hands, when you're at a space in the zone, you're able to now catch the ball, split the zone, and continue to try to get some yards after catch, you know. And that was one thing that I definitely noticed in mandatory minicamp is, you know, on a lot of plays, once I'm getting out of my break, you know, the ball is pretty much in my hands, you know, and being able to give me the optimal time for to be able to make a play after I catch the ball, you know. And again, I mean, that all bodes well for, you know, what we want to accomplish as an offense and how we can continue to get better with creating more X plays and creating more yards after catch plays.
Alan, there was a stretch late last season where the offense got clicking a little bit. You referenced it a little bit. When you look at that six-game stretch to close the regular season, what do you take away from the offensive production, and what do you think sparked it?
I think, one, playing complementary football. You know, I think that's a big thing that's overlooked in the NFL, meaning offense, defense, and special teams. Defense getting stops, special teams making plays, us capitalizing on our field position, us capitalizing on certain, you know, schemes that we, you know, are going up against and how we can take advantage of those, being able to get the run game going, you know, to help out the pass game and vice versa, you know, being efficient on first and second down, you know. So it's many different things that you can kind of label it, but I think the main thing is just being locked in and being focused. You know, at that point in time in the season, our backs was up against the wall. You know, we had an opportunity to go one or two ways, you know. So I think being able to, again, kind of reach back to that, you know, to the focus level of that for the guys who are here in that stretch, and being able to start at that standpoint day one, you know, being able to make sure that we're being efficient on first and second down, you know, treating third down this year like it's the last thing in the world, you know, being able to give ourselves another set of downs, you know, because the only way to continue to get the ball rolling to get down to the red zone is either creating X plays or keeping drives alive on third down, you know. So those are the things right there that we got to stay focused on, stay locked in on when we have third down periods in practice, when we have red zone periods in practice, being able to, you know, get another set of downs, and also being able to put the ball in the end zone when we get our opportunity to.
I want to focus particularly on this idea of anticipatory throws that the question was about, because it's something Matt Nagy referenced specifically about what he's seen from Andy Dalton. We've heard it a couple of times this offseason about, you know, putting the ball in front of the receivers, and it the ball being out when a receiver's making his break almost before he's, like, leaving the quarterback hands before the receiver's ready for it, so then it gets to the receiver right as he's ready for it. And it would seem to me that the Bears have made that distinction in part as it being not as prevalent last year with Mitch Trubisky and, to a lesser extent, Nick Foles, and something that Dalton is a little bit more of skilled at putting that ball out in front. That Trubisky's more of what we call a see-it, throw-it type of quarterback, to where you kind of have to see the quarterback get open and then fire the ball in there to, you know, to really see it first, to believe it and register it, to then throw it, as opposed to Dalton a little bit better at throwing to a spot and trusting that the receiver is going to get there and knowing exactly where to put it when the receiver's not there yet. You know, you don't want to put it too far in front of him so he can't get to it, or too far behind him that he's going to have to stop and wait for it once he does get open. And like Robinson said, you get to sort of keep some of your separation that, you know, once you're open, if you have to stop, then the defense can catch up a little bit. But if it's on time and in motion already, then you can create more yards after the catch. It's not to say Mitch was never able to do that. Certainly examples of that, but maybe Dalton a little bit more skilled at it. Specifically, I think we're talking about the underneath game, you know, little drag routes or slants or ins over the middle, you know, in that shorter range of the field, because Dalton hasn't always been as accurate, as consistent, and certainly not always as much zip on the ball in the intermediate to deep areas of the field. I think that's what we would look for Justin Fields to try and take to the next level, is like those anticipatory throws a little bit deeper. And I think that's where we're sort of waiting for that distinction. But again, I don't want to count Dalton out for that before we fully get a chance to see it. But clearly, Robinson and these receivers excited to see how this quarterback play can continue to grow as Dalton and Fields get more comfortable with the offense and get on the same page with their receivers and build a lot of that chemistry. We'll see how well the offensive line holds up. Certainly, at this stage in training camp, maybe not looking great, because neither one of your starting offensive tackles at this stage participated in Bears practice on Wednesday. We will check in on the injury report with guys on the physically unable to perform list, non-football injury list, guys just missing practice, and then a retirement to start training camp as well. Next on Locked On Bears. This episode of Locked On Bears brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports. And boy, is there a lot to bet on. At betonline.ag, they've got season player prop bets. You can bet over under on Allen Robinson's catches, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, Darnell Mooney's receiving yards. I think Jimmy Graham's receiving yards are in there. You can bet over under on Khalil Mack's sacks for this upcoming season, and so much more. Bears team bets on win total, where they'll finish in the NFC North, making the playoffs. You can bet Justin Fields as Offensive Rookie of the Year, Matt Nagy as First Coach Fired or Coach of the Year. Really get all sides of the spectrum from Bet Online, plus baseball, soccer, tennis, hockey, Olympics, you name it, they've got it. Sign up today for a free account and enter our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your free 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I was going to use this last segment to hear from linebacker Roquan Smith, one of the players that met with the media this week. But he, as he has been for a lot of his career, very short on specifics and details in his answers. And it's to the point where, like, the media doesn't really end up asking him all that many questions at the press conference. Like, if you look at the length of the press conference, with Andy Dalton, it was like 15 minutes. Allen Robinson was like 15 minutes. They couldn't even get 5 minutes out of Roquan Smith, and they were just out of questions. It was like, all right, we've sort of asked what we want. Definitely a lot of cliches, not a lot of detail, and I don't think it's anything intentional. It's not Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here so I don't get fined. It's just what his personality is, and that's fine, but it didn't really leave us a lot to expound upon here for Roquan Smith. But instead, we got quite a few injury updates to go through here as the Bears begin training camp. We knew coming into camp, like even before the team reported, Tariq Cohen on the physically unable to perform list, so he wouldn't be quite ready to go. Daz Newsome, the rookie wide receiver, also on the PUP list. But everybody else, Ryan Pace had said yesterday that they thought pretty much everybody else would be pretty much good to go. And, you know, out of the 90-man roster, that was factually correct. Pretty much everybody was good to go. But a number of guys missing practice to begin, including now Jermaine Ifedi, your starting right tackle for now in this competition, first in line in the starting right tackle competition, placed on the physically unable to perform list. Now, this is not the same as when a player is put on the PUP list before the season. You know, before the regular season, you're out the first, I think, 6 weeks of the season on the PUP list. But going on the list now is just an exempt list to say he's injured, he's unable to perform, but you can bring him off of the PUP list at any time as soon as he is ready. So presumably that would put Elijah Wilkinson in at right tackle to start training camp. But the rookie left tackle, Tevin Jenkins, sat out practice with a sore back or some sort of minor back issue that he was dealing with. And so yesterday, Matt Nagy had sort of pointed to Wilkinson as potentially the backup left tackle. So, you know, the media's not able to go through full details on who's all lining up where, but I would assume Larry Borum then fills in at right tackle as sort of your third string right tackle if Elijah Wilkinson is filling in at left tackle. But either way, not good to start training camp without either of your bookend offensive tackles on an offensive line with a lot of moving around, some different positions for different guys, and absolutely going to be critical to this team's success. Defensively, not great to see Eddie Jackson start on the non-football injury list. It functions the same as the physically unable to perform list, but there's a certain designation about when the injury occurred, and it's sort of semantics at this point. But Eddie Jackson not participating. A little less concerned there. He's not a guy that needs training camp, per se, as much as someone like Tevin Jenkins, who hasn't really been able to practice with pads up to this point, or Daz Newsome, the rookie wide receiver. All those guys trying to get back up to speed. Eddie Jackson, he'll be fine. Not too worried there. It was encouraging to see some progress from Robert Quinn, the outside linebacker. And you might say, well, he's limited at practice. Is that progress? But yes, marks progress from where he was earlier this offseason when he wasn't really participating. And even last year entering training camp, it sounds like he's been kind of banged up in these offseasons and really trying to get as close to 100% as possible. And being limited and being able to participate somewhat at this stage is a step forward and shows that he's been making some progress and should be a little bit more ready to go and a little bit closer to 100% by the time the regular season starts. I'm curious to sort of see what his track looks like here as we ramp up toward week one, but they need more from him. And so the more he can be involved in really getting up to speed on that, I think the better. The one guy who will not be involved in any of this, tight end Jake Butt. Bears brought him in what feels like a month ago at most. He'd been with the Denver Broncos, a Michigan star in college football, but tore the ACL at the end of his college career and then kept having knee issues throughout his time in Denver. Jake Butt officially retired, or I should say the Bears placed him on the reserve retirement list, which is designating him as a retired player. I don't know that as of the time I'm recording this podcast, I've seen any like formal social media post from him specifically, but I'm sure that type of announcement is coming. That would explain then why just a couple of days ago, right before training camp, the Bears signed veteran tight end Jesse James from the Detroit Lions. We saw it as just good depth to have either way, but I would guess they got some sort of inkling or designation or message, a heads up from Jake Butt saying, hey guys, I just don't have it in me anymore. I'm going to retire at age 26. Bears say, all right, you know, thanks, but we're going to go sign Jesse James. So I'm guessing there was a real connection there to those two moves. We broke down the Jesse James signing just a couple of days ago on the podcast, so make sure you go check that out if you have not as well. And just subscribe to the Locked On Bears podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and especially on our YouTube channel. to make sure that you're keeping up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. We'll hear from a few more Bears players on tomorrow's podcast. A couple of big-name guys in particular, Eddie Goldman and Robert Quinn, making some comments about where they stand at this stage. Two guys we're keeping a very close eye on moving forward, so make sure you tune back in for more of that and more complete training camp coverage. Any injury, any transaction, any kind of change just like that will be here for you right here on Locked On Bears. So I appreciate everyone who's tuning in, and I hope all of our training camp updates will make it just a little bit easier for you to bear down.